Zechariah chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. Then the angel of the Lord answered and said, O Lord of hosts, how long will you not have mercy on Jerusalem and on the cities of Judah against which you were angry these 70 years? And the Lord answered the angel who talked to me with good and comforting words. So the angel who spoke with me said to me, proclaim, saying, Thus says the Lord of hosts, I am zealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with a great zeal. On these warm days, imagine you've been outside. Suppose you took a walk and you saw a butterfly struggling to get out of its cocoon. You watch as on and on it struggles. It seems to be so stuck it can't get loose. And it's losing all its strength. So you carefully snip it free. That merciful act would actually cruelly condemn it to never fly. For you see, in God's wise plan of creation, they need to struggle till that struggle has pumped fluid into every aspect of their wings, so those wings are able to float and soar on the wind. Our pre-incarnate Savior was doing the same thing for Judah. You see, even then in the Old Testament, he was sitting on the throne of heaven. And he was doing it to open the cocoon of that Babylonian captivity. He raised up Cyrus to set his people free, to return, to build the temple of God. And the Lord's grace moved a remnant of them. So they were willing to leave behind their businesses, family, Babylonian standard of living, and return to what? Ruin and rubble in Jerusalem. His grace moved them so that when they had rubble to clear in their own land, fields to plant, houses to rebuild, they first gathered to set up the altar to the Lord and worship Him. And yet now they were facing unrelenting struggles and troubles. We often do also, don't we? And how often aren't we like those butterflies, struggling to break free from our cocoon and soar on the wind? That may be a good illustration of those taking the step of graduation. But it's true of all of us at times, isn't it? And when we have troubles in our life, how often, like them, aren't we crying, Lord, how long? Why won't you snip us free? And how does the Lord answer in our text? I am zealous for Zion, my church. You know, after the Lord had raised up Cyrus to open that cocoon, it did indeed seem like the Jewish believers were still stuck in the cocoon. You see, they had started rebuilding the temple when the Samaritans offered to help. And some of them thought, wow, this is a godsend. We need their help. But some of the believers realized that if they allow lies to be mingled with the truth, they no longer have the truth. You see, the Samaritan religion recognized that Jehovah was God of this land, but that there were also other gods. And those idols and errors had no place with the Lord. And so the believers stood faithful. But the Samaritans did not like that. They resented being left out. They opposed and stopped the work on the Lord's temple for 16 years. Some of the people undoubtedly concluded, see, we should have been more tolerant of error. Or, Lord must not be with us. And all of them were discouraged. And we can identify with that again, can't we? Because there are times when we get discouraged, even about the Lord's work. Faithfulness to all of Jesus' teachings can seem to be just too hard. And so many reject it. So should we conclude these troubles demonstrate that the Lord doesn't want us to be confessionally faithful? Or that the Lord is not with us? Our text answers those doubts with a resounding no. What does Jesus say? I am zealous for Zion. I have ascended to the throne of glory in order to carry out the Lord's work. No, I want you to be faithful. Yes, Jesus had allowed that Jewish remnant to struggle for 16 years, and he often allows us to struggle. He knows that we need to pump that fluid of faith into the every extremity of our wings so that we spread them out in complete dependence on him and his grace. He knows that is more important than our having external ease in this world. And yet, interestingly, right before our text, the reconnaissance troops of the Lord had reported to Christ, "All the earth is resting quietly." Wow. That sounds like a miraculous blessing. When has it ever happened? Well, never in an earthly way. Not then or now. The people then were being trampled by war and disease, as today. The church itself, we pointed out, was even being persecuted. And yet, behold the miracle of verse 12. Jesus knew their every experience. He knew every discouragement of Zion, his church. And he was zealous to help them. And he knows yours. He heard their cry. And he was not forgetting them or unable to help. The zeal of the Lord of hosts was performing exactly what was needed to bring all things to pass according to his good and gracious will. How does he answer us today? I am zealous for Zion, my church, for you who are part of my flock. Such zeal, in fact, that it brought Christ to Calvary's cursed cross to make the full payment for all your sins and the sins of the world. Such zeal that it brought him to penetrate through the iron wall of sin's death to give you life with God. Such zeal that it brought him on this day we celebrate today to ascend to the very throne of heaven, where he's doing what? He's exercising that zeal, he tells us here, to direct his reconnaissance troops throughout all the world to enable you to rest quietly with your God. Sins forgiven and souls redeemed. It's only as we thus spread our wings in dependence on him and his grace that we can indeed soar o'er the ashes of time into the resting quiet of His presence. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. We'll conclude with hymn 221, stanzas 1 and 5. 221, 1 and 5.